Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and this week we're going to be talking about components frameworks. As of right now, building websites is essentially reserved to people who either know what they're doing through having a computer science degree or who have been programming for a long time, and or people who want to use website builders, which generally do not produce accessible websites. Well, I mean, imagine for a second that obviously there could be something better, because, I mean, there can be. The thing is, there's a lot of different components frameworks out there, and for those of you who don't know what those are, it's essentially a pre-built set of things to use on your website. So it might be a button, or it might be like a text box for you to type in. It could be a grid for you to lay out some images. It can be a load of different things. But the current problem is that unless you want to make one by yourself, a lot of those are quite old generally. Some of them are a bit newer, but even the newer ones generally aren't super accessible or aren't super kind of easy for people to use. You know, they might not be as intuitive, they might be kind of hard to set up, etc. So that's kind of the problem with a lot of those frameworks. And also, a lot of website builders actually can't be used by people with disabilities because the website builders themselves aren't accessible, along with the actual components themselves not being accessible, which is obviously a really big problem. That is exactly why we have decided to start making our own. So EnvisionTech Core is going to be our components library, and it's going to kind of be the core things that you need in order to build a website. Now, as part of that, we're using a few different things. So just to kind of help you understand what is a little bit different about our framework and why we believe anyway it's better than a lot of pre-existing ones. So I suppose part number one here is that we're using Svelte to build our components. Now, if you don't know what Svelte is, well, it's kind of like a lot of other JavaScript-ish type languages, like React, for example, where it's not just JavaScript anymore. But with Svelte, it actually gets turned back into JavaScript. So it's actually compiled back into really efficient JavaScript before you actually deploy it. So, and Svelte is also very component-based. They kind of encourage you to use components in your development, and that's kind of the whole ethos, is, you know, a compiled component driven kind of language. So it's actually specifically meant for making components a lot of the time, and it's very good for building very fast and reactive sort of web applications and components. The other component here, if you will, to our components library, is the fact that we're using Storybook. Now, for those of you who don't know what Storybook is, it essentially lets you test and view your components in more of an isolated place. So, we actually have documentation and everything set up already. We'll have the link to the NPM repo in the description. So if you want to go have a look, you can have a look there. And under the resources section down the bottom, you'll see a documentation link. That will actually take you to our Storybook, but that's just the documentation version. In the actual full developer version, you're actually able to test visually the components. You're able to test their accessibility as well. As you can see from the documentation, you're actually able to view each and every single variant of the component. You can, you know, change the different arguments that are supplied, and it will update there in real time. So what that does is it lets you visually make sure that your components are consistent between releases and that you haven't broken something. And also, as it has accessibility testing built in, so we can ensure that each and every single one of our components works properly and is accessible, which is obviously kind of the goal of the framework here. Now, just to mention, if you yourself are a developer and you don't use Svelte, that doesn't mean you can't use these components. Now, number one, you can just use them anyway. You can install it and it will actually install Svelte alongside them, I believe. But also, we are exploring the possibility of compiling them into web components, which is something that Svelte lets you do, which is quite nice. We aren't currently prioritizing that. The current priority is obviously adding more components and expanding the functionality of the existing ones. But obviously, at some point in the future, we do hope to have that as an option for people so that people can use it in more frameworks and more projects. I am always talking about this, but at this point, digital accessibility is essentially a basic human right, not just an afterthought or a niche concern. Especially now that things like internet access are actually becoming human rights, I mean, accessibility should be too, because if you're meant to be able to have access to the internet, you can't have that if it's not accessible. So, I mean, I ask you this, in a world that's increasingly reliant on technology, can we truly afford to build digital spaces that exclude a significant portion of the population? So, what I'm talking about there is, obviously right now, we are super reliant on technology, and every single day it's becoming more and more like that. So can you really exclude, you know, 10%, 20% of the population just because you don't want to make things accessible? I mean, obviously the answer is no. And that's why we're kind of starting to work on this framework, because we think it's a little bit silly how a lot of developers won't put in the basic time to make things accessible. And it's honestly a bit frustrating because, as I've talked about before, if you don't make things accessible, then you're actually not making them correctly in the first place. So it means a lot of these pre-existing component frameworks actually just aren't made properly at all, which obviously doesn't bode well for other functionality. You know, if you're not going to implement basic HTML features, then I don't know if I trust you to implement the design correctly or the functionality correctly or anything else really. I always like to give a bit of perspective on this point, because obviously this might be the first episode you've heard, and or you might just not be aware. So, for example, the World Health Organization, they estimate that over 1 billion people worldwide have some form of disability. And the purchasing power of people with disabilities, for example, in the US, the disposable income of working age people with disabilities is estimated to be in trillions of dollars. So obviously, if you have an e-commerce website, you don't want to be missing out on those people just because your date picker doesn't work with a screen reader. There's a lot of studies that show the negative impact of accessible websites and business outcomes. So it basically just means that there's much higher bounce rates and lower conversion. So by bounce rates, I mean people will leave your website, and lower conversion just means lower people will complete a transaction. So obviously that's a really big deal, and all that stuff right there could be fixed by making your website accessible. So just to kind of give you an example of why accessibility benefits not just people with disabilities, it benefits everybody. So, okay. Let's say you're walking down the street and you come to a crossing. So a lot of the time you'll notice there's something called a curb cut. So what that means is essentially the curb is actually lower down. So you'll see like a sort of decline, and it will kind of form a ramp that will lead onto the street. So the actual purpose of those is designed for wheelchair users, but they benefit parents with strollers, delivery workers, and anyone with mobility challenges. So accessibility in technology often has similar kind of, you know, traits where it will benefit a specific group, at least that's why it's created, but it turns out actually it will benefit multiple groups or a much wider group than initially was expected, or maybe even just everybody. For example, having like high contrast themes and things like that will encourage website makers to kind of think about the color choices they make a bit more. Having like a simpler UI, you know, which is just good. It's less cluttered, you know, all those things just kind of benefit everybody. So again, really important. And as I said, especially if you're not actually making things accessible, generally you're not making them correctly in the first place. So, I mean, obviously, if you're making them with accessibility in mind and you're making things correctly, it's more likely that every user will have a more positive experience, not just people with disabilities. Now to kind of give you a bit more of a deeper dive on Svelte here. So, for example, as I mentioned earlier, Svelte has a component-based architecture for organization. So this will honestly just promote modularity, and makes it a lot easier to manage and reason about UI elements, which is obviously beneficial for building accessible interfaces. So, you know, when you're setting up a new SvelteKit project, for example, it will actually ask you if you're creating a library, because they know that Svelte is very useful for creating components. And SvelteKit is actually different than Svelte. SvelteKit is more of a web application building kind of framework, but you can actually use it to build standalone components as well. But you do not need SvelteKit to use the components that we've made. You just need Svelte. We just use SvelteKit because it makes it easier to organize the project and will actually help you do things like package up your components for distribution. So also Svelte directly manipulates the DOM, which if you're not familiar with that, it's just the document object model. So it's essentially everything you see on your page is part of the DOM. If you see a button, that is in the DOM, for example. So Svelte will directly update this, which some frameworks don't. Some frameworks have different ways of dealing with that behavior, but Svelte's way of doing it provides a lot of fine-grained control to developers, which is great for implementing accessibility features. And also, generally, it's more performant as well. So it's also better for users and developers because it's faster, it's easier to use, and it gives you more control over exactly what's going on. So as I also mentioned, Svelte can compile directly to web components, which will offer a lot of the benefits of Svelte, but will also offer some of the benefits of encapsulation, because all these components will be completely isolated, but you'll be able to use them in any framework. So if you want to use them with React or Angular, it doesn't matter, you'll be able to use them. I said we haven't actually done that yet, but I was literally just looking into it the other day because I think it's quite important. And once we get a few more components built and we're happy with those components, then we will definitely look into this. We might release two versions of the library. We might have the standard version, which uses Svelte, and then we might have, you know, a web components version for people who don't want to use Svelte. We'll have to think more about how we want that to work, to be honest. But either way, definitely an option that we're looking into, and we will definitely keep you all updated on that. Something that I also haven't mentioned yet is that we're using Tailwind to design our UI components. And that may sound a bit strange to some people because Tailwind is a sort of CSS utility. So what it will do is it will let you make your components look differently, but it's far more standardized than CSS. You can do things in a very custom way, but generally Tailwind will give you a set of pre-built utilities to use. And the reason why we want to use that is because what it does is it promotes consistency and ease of development. So instead of having to worry about, okay, is this margin the same as this one? Is this padding the same as this one? Is this button as wide as this one? It doesn't matter because Tailwind will take care of all of it. In reality, it is important for your components to look nice and ours will look nice. But what's really important is the functionality and the accessibility of them, because if your buttons don't work correctly, your users don't care if they're the most beautiful buttons they've ever seen. They're obviously going to hate the experience. So we are definitely focusing on making our components look nice, but we're not going to spend a long, long time kind of custom writing CSS for them, when honestly, there is no reason to do that when things like Tailwind exist, which essentially already do exactly what we want and will just speed up the development process significantly. Especially because of in Tailwind version 4 now, how easy it is to kind of define your own custom classes for things like buttons, which mean that they're very reusable. So every time we want to use a button, we don't have to rewrite a class. We don't have to go and get it from some other CSS file. Tailwind already handles it all. So yeah, we're using Tailwind as well, which will also help improve accessibility because they have support for things like high contrast themes, dark modes, etc. So again, really important because it helps us more rapidly develop the components, help make sure that they're more consistent, and helps make sure that they are more accessible. So there's three big reasons there why Tailwind is a good choice and why we have chosen it to build our library in particular. So we're using Svelte because it's more performant, easier for developers to use, and is good at making components. We're using Tailwind because it helps make things more accessible and more consistent, and again, helps us develop them faster. We're using Storybooks to ensure accessibility, make sure that they're performing correctly, and make sure that they look correctly. So those kind of 3 points, and kind of like little 3 points to our triangle for success, hopefully, will help ensure that the components work correctly, and work properly, look nice, and are accessible. So with all those things in mind, right, imagine now that you can't see, okay? You are trying to learn how to make a website. Well, I've been in that position, and I can tell you it's not particularly easy to know exactly what will look nice to users. Even if you have been able to see in the past or whatever it might be, you obviously won't be able to see what things look like on your screen. So now you find a library of pre-built components that you know are going to look nice, they're going to function properly, and they're also going to work properly for you, your screen reader, and you know they're going to work properly for other people with disabilities. I mean, this is something that I would have loved to have access to personally, which sadly isn't too prevalent of a thing, which is quite sad, but that's kind of a big reason why I wanted to kind of start making this right now, because I'm constantly seeing people who might be visually impaired or disabled asking, how do I make sure that my website looks nice? And I'm like, well, unless you have somebody who can see nearby, you can't. So that is another big reason why I think this will be really helpful, is because it will let developers, you know, especially ones who cannot see, focus on the functionality of their application as opposed to how it looks, because how it looks will already be in place, you know, and they'll be able to trust that, and that'll be great. It will allow any developer to make things faster as well. Obviously, if you don't have to worry about adding all this styling, currently we don't have custom theming available for the framework, so they just come in one color currently, but obviously we're going to change that. Once we have a couple more components, we're going to work on adding custom themes, which I think I already know how we're going to do it. So once we get that in place, obviously you'll be able to change out the colors to be whatever colors you want and theme the components exactly how you want them to be for your particular application. So it won't just look like it's, you know, pre-built templated things, because it's going to be highly customizable. So any developer could really benefit from it as well, whether it be from the good functionality, the good accessibility, or how it looks and how it functions with different states, like when you hover over buttons or focus on them or even click them. Now, that was more so the benefit for developers, but now for users, so it's going to benefit all users, but we'll start off with disabled users here. So what it will ensure is that buttons and form fields will be properly labeled for screen reader users. Even for buttons that just have icons, for example, and we've actually made it so that it will automatically generate an ARIA label for those buttons if one isn't provided, which we do still encourage. That is mentioned in the documentation that you should be providing one, but even if developers don't, because they are being lazy, because sadly a lot of developers are, we will at least attempt to put a label on the button so that it doesn't just say button like half of the buttons that I come across on websites. Keyboard navigability are going to be built in to custom controls. So it means there will be no more inaccessible date pickers where you can't use them with a screen reader. There will be no more text boxes that you actually can't really click on, you know, etc., etc., etc. There'll be no more tabs that don't actually let you navigate them properly. All this stuff will be taken care of, so developers won't have to worry about it. They'll just have to use, you know, for example, the Envision tab list component, put their tabs in, and that's it. It's done. It's all accessible. It all works. It all looks nice. And obviously that will benefit disabled users, but everybody. We're also going to be making sure that there is sufficient color contrast within component styles. We are having multiple themes. We're going to have a light theme, a high contrast theme, and a dark theme built into every single component. And obviously the hope is that you'll be able to customize those yourself to make them look exactly how you want, if you want to customize them. So that is the hope. And yeah, I mean, they will all come with three themes, so that you'll know that they have good color contrast and that they're also going to look good as well. Obviously, there's going to be well-structured content within the components for easy navigation, whether you're a developer trying to navigate through our different files to maybe have a look at a component or to contribute to a component, whether it be the documentation itself, that will hopefully all be well-structured, whether you're actually using the components in a project, where obviously they should be very easy to use, very intuitive, or whether you're actually navigating through them on a website. Again, they'll all be very intuitive. They'll all follow proper accessibility design patterns, etc. Now, let me make this very clear as well. As I've mentioned, it is still up to developers to make things accessible. This components framework will give them the tools to do that in a very easy and simple way, and sometimes we'll do a little bit of the work for them. For example, implementing like tab navigation or, you know, adding an area label when they haven't bothered. But this does not mean that you can just use the components, not worry about accessibility and not care. That is still something that developers should care about and should actually properly implement. For example, if you don't read any of our documentation, you just throw a few components on the page and call it a day, you still might not be making things accessible properly. And it's not anything crazy. It's the matter of literally, you know, typing in a box, because that's actually how easy it is to use our components, right? On our documentation page, you can edit the component, you can press show code, right? It will actually show you the code, and there is literally a copy button right there. So honestly, if you can't be bothered to type in a box to make something accessible, I mean, I don't know how much easier we could really make it for people. But yeah, just to mention, it's not, you know, the be-all and end-all, because you still need to, like I said, you know, type in a box or provide some kind of arguments to the components, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, we're making it as easy as we can for people. You know, same thing goes if obviously you can't see. Literally, if you're like, oh, I need a big button, you literally just click the drop-down or press enter on it, whatever, and select large. And there you go, you have large button. So again, we're making it as easy as we can, as intuitive as we can. You don't need to know how to program to use our components technically, even though you kind of do. But even if you're a beginner, they are super easy to use. And eventually we might release, you know, our own tools that make it easy to kind of drag and drop these components or whatever, you know. But yeah, for right now, we're starting off with a components library in VisionTech Core. I said, make sure you go check that out. And we'd appreciate any contributions in terms of code, or even if you want to help sponsor the project or whatever you want to do, feel free to do so. Even if you just want to try it out and send me an email and tell me this is terrible, that's fine, but at least tell me why so I can fix it. Yeah, we're open to any kind of contributions once they're constructive, essentially. Yeah. In conclusion then, EnvisionTech Core is our new components framework. It's built using Svelte, Tailwind, and Storybooks. If you want to go check it out, the link is in the description. As always, thank you so much for listening. This has been the EnvisionTech Podcast. I've been your host, Paul Gagan, and I will see you all next week.